Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, even as prayer, even as I was in prayer here, up here this morning, I just felt I felt the Spirit just descend in here and the anointing come on me. Praise God. And I'm just so thankful for that. Amen. I'm so thankful for what the Lord does. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because if you know me, you know that I couldn't do this by myself. Praise the Lord. Said I couldn't do this by myself. I need my wife's help. I need my family's help. I need the church's help. But most importantly, I need the Holy Spirit's help. I need the Lord's help. If the Lord ain't working in me, you ain't going to get much of a sermon. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, you aren't going to see much of anything if the Lord if the Lord ain't working through me. Because it's as the Lord works through us that things happen. It's as the Lord works through us that things change. And only then, amen. And the Lord only works through His Word. You know, my wife was talking about abiding in the Word, and last night I was preaching on abiding in the Word, and here's the truth. You can read the Word and not abide in it. You can hear the Word and not abide in it. Oh yeah, you can have 15 different copies of 15 different versions, and you can know it in 20 different languages, praise the Lord, but still not having it abide in you, praise the Lord. See, there's a lot of Christians that don't know what abiding in the Word means. There's a lot of Christians that don't know what the word abiding in them means, amen? How do I know that? Well, I know because there's a lot of people that will forego the Word for their tradition. They will forego the Word for their feelings. They will forego the Word for their own thoughts. Amen. Well, this is the way I think about it. We were looking at this video of this one worship service, and it's actually not on YouTube as a compliment because it's very terrible. Amen. And they weren't really worshiping. All they did was they took a really popular song from the 80s and took one word out of it and put Jesus in there instead and sang it as a worship song. And you know, there's many comments after it, and I like strolling through the comments because you can always tell. You know, there's all kinds of Christians. Just because a Christian says something doesn't mean it's true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because there are a lot of Christians that believe a lot of stupid things. Amen. And as we were scrolling through there, you know, one of the things that it said is, oh, leave them alone. They're trying to, they're worshiping God the way they want to worship God. And there is nothing wrong with worshiping God the way they want to worship God, because there's no wrong way to worship God, is what they said. Well, the Bible distinctly tells us that that ain't true. Amen. You can't just worship God. He said, Jesus said, the time is coming and now is when my people will worship me in spirit and in truth. Well, in order to worship in spirit and truth, you have to find out what spirit and truth is. I think one of the most amazing things that it says in spirit and in truth, and yet people don't understand that truth don't change. You know, I said this last night and I'll say it again today, you know, gravity worked 4,000 years ago. Why? Because gravity was a law 4,000 years ago. Gravity was truth 4,000 years ago. If you jumped off a mountain 4,000 years ago, gravity was going to work. And I guarantee you that if you jump off a wall in the next 100 years, gravity is still going to be a truth. Why? Because truth doesn't change. Truth is not subjective. Amen? Our thoughts are subjective. Sometimes the things we like are subjective. You know, when I was 20 years old, this is why I think it's so stupid when people want to run things by young people. You know, there's nothing wrong with young people. They're learning. They're good. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something I've learned in my 40 years. That a lot of things change in 20 years. Amen. When I was 20, I thought wholly different than I did when I became 40. Amen. And I'm so glad that I think the way I think now. Now I look at 20-year-olds and I laugh. Not because I'm making fun of them, but because I see them say things and come up with their great ideas and stuff. And it's like, they'll learn. Praise the Lord. They'll learn. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're excited for the Word. Amen. Do we come expecting God today? Amen. Yeah. Yep. Praise the Lord. You came here thinking you were seeing me, but Jesus is going to work through me today. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why is He going to do that? Because that's what His Word says He does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to warn you. You know, there's a little bit, it came out my wife a little bit this morning, but I think I woke up on the bold side of the bed this morning. So we're just going to see where the Spirit takes us. We're going to get into some things, but how many know it's going to be good? Amen. Praise the Lord, because it's the Word of God. You know, I was going to preach, and I started a series last week, and this may or may not have anything to do with the series that is yet to be determined. But as I was getting in the Word this week and being before the Lord, I really had a strong sense of going a different direction. And so I believe that this is for the right time and the right place. And so if it doesn't follow a man-made series, not that the series were man-made anyways, but if it doesn't follow the series, that's praise the Lord for it. You know, God will have a different message depending on who shows up at church. Do you understand that? Like when I come to church, I haven't preached yet, But that doesn't mean the sermon that I have, the sermon that I prepared, that doesn't mean that that's even what's going to come out. What's going to come out is what the people need. And so God is going to direct it accordingly. And aren't you glad? Amen. Yeah. So if you came in here today, just believe that God showed up, and he showed up going to teach you some things. He got some things right for you. And if you can believe God for it, you'll receive it. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we'll start in Ephesians 5:17. And this kind of does go along with the series I started, because the series I started was the will of God. And really, the reason I believe that this does go along with it is because the work of the Holy Spirit is the will of God. The work of the Holy Spirit is incredibly important. Actually, you could argue this, that after salvation, which was the work of Jesus, right? Everyone knows that Jesus died for our sins, amen? But what did he say? When he said when he was leaving, he was going to leave us with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the interesting thing. In a lot of churches today, we focus on the work of Jesus, which I'm not saying is bad. We should know what the work of Jesus was. But if we just stay with Jesus, you know, we've talked about this many times. You know, we have a cross up here. And the cross is up here not because we're religious, not because we're a church, but just because I wanted to do it, decorate nice. But you know something? If we didn't have a cross up here, it wouldn't make us any less of a church. Right. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the cross, so many people focus on the cross, and the cross isn't where it ended. The cross is where it started, praise the Lord, but where it ended is in the throne room. The best picture of a Christian church today would be a throne. I tried to figure out how we could put a throne up here, but you know, I thought a lot of people would think I was in pride or something, amen. But you know, the throne is what represents Christianity. However, most Christians don't live on the throne. Most Christians, not the throne of God anyways. They may live in a throne, more like a toilet kind of throne, but they're not living in the throne of God, amen? But the Bible tells us that we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus. And so our lives should reflect heavenly, being seated in heavenly places with Christ. But most lives don't, amen? And so this is kind of a calling card of mine. I preach about this, and part of the reason is because I know that I'm preparing for harvest. I'm preparing God's people to get ready for his second coming. Because I'm going to tell you something, the church as a whole has been a joke. I'm going to say that angrily and mad because that's exactly how I feel. The church as a whole has been an absolute joke. The church doesn't know how to stand up. The church ministers don't know how to be bold anymore and tell people that sometimes they're not right, sometimes they're wrong. And then Christians don't know how to live right anymore. They go out and live wrong and then wonder why they're consumed with the devil. You cannot live consumed with the devil and expect to have the power of God working in your life. We can't have it both ways. This ain't Burger King, as we like to say around here. You can't have God and the devil too. But a lot of Christians are going out filling themselves with the devil and wondering why they don't have God operating in their life. Well, I'm going to tell you, Christian, with everything you compromise, you give up something more of God. You give up something more of the Holy Ghost, and you got to be careful about that. Yeah, absolutely. Christians love to sit in bars, giving up the Holy Ghost. Christians that love to party a little bit, giving up the Holy Ghost. They're giving up the things of God. Christians that don't want to be in church, they're giving up God. Praise the Lord. That's what's happened. Christians don't want to follow a pastor, giving up God. Christians that think they can do it their way, giving up God. Just a little bit. And it's all in the Word. It's all found in the Word. We preach it every week. Some people don't hear it every week, though. Then they come once in a while and get mad at what I say. Well, if you had showed up the past 4 weeks, you would have heard everything that I was saying leading up to that. Amen. Praise the Lord, because God wants to take us somewhere. Well, praise the Lord. I told you, I woke up on the bold side of the bed today. Amen. That was my wife's side of the bed, by the way. Mine is a nice soft side of the bed. It wakes you up nice, and flowers and butterflies going around. Little cherubs sitting up on the bed, you know, playing the harps. Praise the Lord. That's my side of the bed. My wife's side of the bed is going to kick you in the pants side of the bed. Praise the Lord. See, you think it's me that's bold, but it's really my wife. She just gives it to me when I get in the pulpit. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:17. Have you found it yet? Well, if you didn't, well, just look it up here. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise. Praise God. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about being wise. The Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. I love what the Bible says about, actually in the book of Proverbs, we have this on the wall down in Corey. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. The principal, therefore get wisdom. In all of your understanding, praise the Lord. You have to get wisdom. You have to get knowledge. You have to get, but it says, therefore be wise. That's very important. Or do not be unwise. Do not be unwise. So if he's saying do not be unwise, that means you have a choice, doesn't it? If God's instructing you, so if I instruct you in something, if I say, hey, I want you to go do this, where's Sophie? Is she in here? Sophia's not in here. She's one of our littlest ones. Gemma's another little one. But we're not going to go up to them and ask them to put the sod back in the yard, are we? No. We're not going to ask them to fix the plumbing. Why? Because that would be unwise, right? That wouldn't be smart. Why? Because they're not capable. I wouldn't instruct them. I wouldn't even think about it. Amen? Right. At the same time, we have some elderly people in our congregation. I wouldn't be asking them to go put the sod back in. Now, some of them showed up and did it anyways. I'm not saying that. But you know what I mean? There's just, you figure when you use certain people in certain areas. Amen? Sometimes I let my kids do things that I just don't want to do anymore. Why? Because I've earned that right. Yeah, absolutely. I raised them. I have a 20-year-old. I raised them from now, and I'm still raising them now. Praise God. You know, I'm still putting things into them. Praise the Lord. That's the way it should be all our lives. But, you know, sometimes I don't want to do certain things, and I say, hey. You know, one time I remember we were at our old house. It was so funny. Mark had an apartment, or not apartment, his space was way up in the attic, so it was like 10 floors up. Amen. And we were downstairs, and we did this kind of as a joke, but it was funny anyways. But we were watching TV, and we didn't have the remote. And so I called upstairs. Hey, Mark, can you come down here? Of course, he comes up. What's that? You fell down the stairs. Yeah, you fell down the stairs. That's right. For some reason, he likes to do that. I don't know. Sooner or later, you get your footing there, young buck. Praise the Lord. But anyway, he comes downstairs, and he's like, what do you need? And I was like, will you grab me the remote? It was like literally 6 feet away from us. Praise the Lord. You see, you just got to keep them on your toes a little bit. Amen? Praise God. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, there's all kinds of people that are seeking God's will. They don't understand what the will of the Lord is. It's right here. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. It does. It tells us everything we need to know about His will, everything we need to know about what He wants for us. Praise the Lord. And Jesus had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. Knowing the Spirit is knowing the will of God. A lot of churches will stray away from the Holy Spirit. They don't like to talk about it. They'll say, oh, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They'll say it real religious-like. But they don't talk about the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about what His job is. And so many Christians are living lives. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about being led by our Spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 John that we have an unction and we know all things. That unction is the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us, telling us, leading us, guiding us. But so many people don't follow it. You know what they do? You know why churches can fail? Somebody was asking me about this. They were asking about, because the church that built the church that we're in Cory, they didn't last very long. You know why it didn't last very long? Because it wasn't built on the Holy Spirit. You know how I know it wasn't built on the Holy Spirit? Because it didn't last very long. Because God, the Bible says, Psalms 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. What does that mean? When you labor in vain, it means you're going to try something, you're going to labor, but you're not going to get the outcome that you want. Well, the same thing goes for your home. Unless the Lord builds your home, you're laboring in vain. Unless the Lord directs you what job, you're getting a job in vain. Unless the Lord tells you what direction you're going, it's all in vain. Unless the Lord leads you, you're doing it in vain. You can't get, see, this is the thing. So many people, they don't know anything about the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, being a pastor now in two towns, I've learned something. There is a very different need in Cory than there is in Mayville. And I'll tell you what some of them are. In Cory, there's a lot of goofiness. There's a lot of instability. There's a lot of churches, praise the Lord. There's a lot of Christians, but there's a lot, what's that? 69 churches in the Cory area. A town of 6,500 people. And God sent us there to start another one. That worked on me a little bit until I started getting the direction of God and started seeing something. There's a lot of goofiness there. There's a lot of extreme Christianity. Things that aren't true, things that aren't scriptural, but they teach it anyway. That's what they go with anyways. Because, you know, it's all about love and grace, and I love and grace. Those are important things. But you know something? Jesus, in love corrects people. Love tells the truth. Love doesn't just let you hang there without having the truth. I know that's not popular in today's society. God forbid we tell someone the truth. God forbid you set somebody straight on something. Well, praise the Lord. Why do you think kids are doing the things they're doing? Because they're told that they don't have to follow the truth anymore. They're told that they can do whatever they want to do, whatever makes them feel good. Well, praise the Lord. We didn't have these problems when I was a kid, and that wasn't that long ago. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what Mayville needs? Mayville has a bunch of churches too. Mayville is a town of 1,600 people, and there's at least a dozen churches here. In fact, they even said to us when we were starting the church, they said, why are you? We don't need another church in this town. I said, but you ain't got one like ours. you ain't got one that's doing what we're doing, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm not cutting down. I love, you know, I met with meet every once in a while with the other pastors. I don't have anything against them. I love them. Sweet people. They love the Lord. But you know, there's some people just don't know the truth. They're not teaching the truth. Just because there's a cross on the door doesn't mean they're teaching the truth. But I'll tell you something that Mayville doesn't know very much about, and that's the Spirit. In fact, the people of Mayville, the churches of Mayville, none of the churches teach anything remotely close to what the Spirit of God is really about. I know that because I know their doctrine. Amen. It's not coming down on them. I mean, again, good people. But listen, there's good. I'm going to say something that will bother you, but it's true. There's good people in hell. They're good people that did good things, but they're in hell because they didn't receive Jesus. Yeah, amen. I mean, Gandhi did a lot of great things, didn't he? Is he dead? I think so, yeah. Yeah, somebody said, yeah. I tell you, unless he received Jesus, he ain't in heaven. He can't be there. There's a lot of people out there that are doing great and wonderful things. What? Yeah, a long time. I don't know. What's that? Could be like Elvis. I believe he's in heaven, though. Elvis is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And don't say otherwise, or you're going to see that. You're going to see the bold side of me come out. Hey, Elvis, he was a troubled man, but he loved the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We must be acquainted with the Holy Ghost. We must be spiritual people. The Bible tells us that His Word is truth and His Word is Spirit. It's Spirit. We must be spiritual people. Yeah. You know how many people come to me and they say, oh, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Well, what does the Spirit say? Right. What does the Lord say? Yeah. You know, and then and if it doesn't line up with the Word, first of all, then that's a big clue that it's not the Spirit. Right. Because the Spirit is never going to lead us opposite of the Word. Right. I had somebody say to me once, yep, the Lord led me. The Spirit of God. This was an uber spiritual person from Corey, by the way. They said, the Lord led me to not be in church anymore. To seek God on my own. Well, that's funny because His Word says, do not forsake the assembling of the brethren. The Bible says, Jesus said that He Himself gave us the office of pastor, which is found in the local church, which is needed for us all. It's the first thing He gave us. Well, you say, well, you're a pastor. You're just up there preaching. No, I'm just telling you the truth. See, one of the reasons I know this is because I have a pastor. I still have a pastor who I go see every week. Praise the Lord and more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we must be spiritual people. We must learn what that means. We must learn. See, we'll make decisions all the time. People say, in the natural, say, it doesn't make sense for you to go to another town and plant another church when there's so many there. You're right, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense when you have one person who was sold out to your church when you started the building project. One person, and Corey at the time. Now we know that we have at least, six that are coming faithfully? And there's a couple that are promising. When I don't mean promising, like they're promising us that they'll come. But there's promise there, just in what we've seen so far. Right. You know, so what's the word? Well, last night we had more people in Corey last night than we have a lot of times in Mayville. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, that's the truth. It's just the truth. Yeah. You see, God is doing something. God has a way. But if we did things according to what we thought, you know, we'll never cross the Red Sea. If we do things according to what we think, we'll never believe that a Messiah could come from a virgin mother. We'll never believe that someone could die for our sins. We'll never believe that if we believe just what we know in the natural, we'll never believe that somebody could walk on water. We'll never believe any of the things that the Bible teaches us. We'll never believe that hands can be laid on somebody and they can be healed. We'll never believe that you can be more than a conqueror. We'll never believe that we have victory in Jesus. We'll never believe these things. Praise the Lord, if we just think according to the mind. And see, we have to receive things spiritually as well. We have to receive things the way God intends according to the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now I want you to flip with me in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now we're not going to get into goofy, kooky stuff. We don't do that anyways, but we're not going to get into what other people call goofy and kooky. We're just preaching the Word here today. Amen? Praise God. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the Scripture because the Scripture always keeps us straight. Amen. I was a person who bucked the system. I still buck the system sometimes. Amen. I don't always go in the flow everybody else is going in, and I get quite proud of that sometimes. Sometimes it's to my benefit, and sometimes it's to my demise. But at any rate, I get back on. But I love the scripture because it teaches us. Amen. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness means that you are basically that you are just you're just desiring for yourself. Or you're, when you covet something somebody else has, I see somebody else has that and I want that, so I need that, and so it should be mine. I deserve it too. Praise the Lord. Oh, we see that a lot, don't we? Do you see that a lot today in society? Well, so-and-so has something, so I should have it too, because I'm just as human as they are, so I deserve it too. But see, the Bible says that there's a way to obtain. Yeah. The Bible gives us a way to obtain. Praise God. Well, I sense that might have made somebody mad. I hope it did. Hallelujah. I hope it shake you up a little bit, because the truth of the word is going to set you free. The truth of the word is going to step on your toes. Listen, I can stand up here and give you a poem and talk about how much God loves you, and that's the truth. Praise the Lord. But it ain't going to help you. It ain't going to set you free. We had a lady from Corey tell us that she would listen to Pastor Tim's sermon on the radio on the way to church. And then she'd go to church, and she'd get out of church, turn back on the radio, and listen to the rest of it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? It means somebody's getting the word. And it wasn't the one that's sitting in that church? How do I know? Because you can't. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't going to get on that today, but maybe I will. We'll see. Praise God. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. On the flip side, this is also not saying that you can't desire God from God anything more. It doesn't mean that you can't have something nice. It doesn't mean you can't have nice clothes or a nice car or a nice house. In fact, if you follow the Lord, you should have all those things. Because a child of God should never be poor. If a child of God is poor, they don't know how to follow the gospel. I'm just telling you the truth. How do I know? Because when I came in, I was dirt poor. And the Lord worked that out of me. Amen. I had to get some stinking thinking on me. I'm going to tell you something. If you live in this area, I'm going to tell you something right now. This area of the country is consumed with poverty mentality. Well, if I can save $5, I better do it, even if it's a lesser product. If I can, you know, they'll say, well, you know, I wanted to give them a good tip, but I just didn't have the extra. So instead of giving somebody $2 or $3, I'm only going to give them two. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, what's the difference if you go from 15% to 20% when you give a tip? Right. Tips are a big thing with me. And I've told you that before. It's a big thing. Because why? Because you know something? It speaks to people. I gave somebody $100 here in this area, and they were blown away that somebody would give them $100. $100! I'm going to tell you something. $100 is nothing. It may be something big here, but $100 is nothing. You go anywhere else in the country, $100 doesn't mean anything. $100 is gas money. It's not even gas money half the time. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you got some vehicles, you can't even fill it up with $100. I'm telling you the truth. $100 is not that much. Yeah. But people act like, you know, you give them $100, you act like you gave them $1 million. Yeah. Why is that? Because there's a poverty mentality. And I could go into a lot of that, but I ain't going to get there today. Amen. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I put this in here because of that. That is so important. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are so many people and I remember being religious minded and thinking this, that when I came, I would pray to God. I was raised in a Christian church. I should have known, right? I should know how to walk with the Lord. I should have known all these things. I was raised in a Christian church, and it wasn't until I was in my teens I ever even found out anything about salvation. Why? Because not every church teaches about salvation. They say, well, you can be saved by going to this church or that church. You can't be saved by it. There's one thing, one name that you are saved by, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior and letting him dwell in you. Yes, being born again. I've heard Christians who come down on born-again believers. All those born-again believers, that's what you're supposed to be. Jesus himself said it. Yeah. Amen? Isn't that what he told Nicodemus? Well, praise the Lord. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But didn't Jesus leave? Did Jesus leave? Jesus left. He didn't stay here, right? He went to the cross. He died for us, went to the grave, went up to heaven. Do you see Jesus here today? Praise the Lord. You should see Jesus here today. You should look around you and see Jesus sitting right next to you. You should see Jesus in every person who is in every church on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night or whenever they're in church. Yeah, you should be seeing Jesus. Amen? But he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What was he talking about? He's sending us the Holy Spirit. He told us about he was going to send us the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise God. So we may boldly say, Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So we may boldly say. Boldly. You know, boldly is not being, as Reverend Greer says, not being mealy-mouthed. Amen. Not being somebody who's just afraid to talk. No, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is how a Christian needs to respond to 99% of the stuff that comes their way. So we may boldly say. The word boldly means confidently. It means you know. It means you're sure. But if you ask a Christian what their outcome is going to be, 9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to get beyond this. I don't know if I'm going to get better. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And the Bible says that the wise know what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We may boldly say the Lord is my helper. When you boldly say something, you believe it. Hallelujah. I'm not standing up here because I just kind of believe what I'm preaching today. I'm standing up here yelling, spitting, snorting, all this kind of stuff because I boldly believe it. I confidently believe in my God. I know what my God does because I watch my God heal people. I watch my God bless people. I watch my God set people free. I watch my God set people up and take enemies down. Hallelujah. I've watched it happen. You can't tell me any different. And every Christian that sits in every church needs to be the same, have the same boldness flowing in them. Hallelujah. And if you don't, if you're a Christian, you don't, then you need to find somewhere that's going to teach you how to. Praise the Lord. The time has come where I'm done. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm done. I'm done being a weak Christian church. I'm not that we are, because we're not, but I'm done with that. I'm not going to raise weak Christians to walk around and be slapped up and defeated all the time. Every time, man, I'll tell you, I have had huge things happen in my life since I've been a Christian that haven't blown me over because the power of God is working in me. And I've had Christians walk up to me and be absolutely rocked by the stupidest little things. Oh, one person says one thing and a Christian gets all bent out of shape. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord, to get all bent out of shape. One person says one thing. One person says something snarky to them, and they leave the church. Yeah. Well, oh yeah, so you were there for you, right? Or were you there for them? How about going to church for God? How about going to church to learn more about God? No, but Christians will get offended, and they'll leave over this, or they'll leave over that, or they'll hear the preacher say something that they don't like. It. Well, praise God, I'm going somewhere else because, you know, I just don't like the way what they say, amen? Yeah, that's exactly what people are. But see, that's because they're weak Christians. And that's why, you know, praise God, hallelujah, I don't know, hallelujah. I need to put some more in because I'm putting too much out there, amen. Praise the Lord. I say this before, I need some windshield wipers on my iPad. The pursuit of life keeps you bound. The word brings you freedom. The pursuit of life keeps us bound. It's when we're just seeking after the basic things that Jesus said not to even worry about. That's what most people do. Most people are living their lives and they're just going from one thing to the next, one day to the next, living paycheck to paycheck, just hoping that maybe they'll have a good day today, but never really knowing, never really understanding what God's will is, never really knowing that there's a whole... But see, this is the thing, is they haven't tapped into that Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of me. He speaks to me all the time. Every single day I have the Lord speak to me. Every single day inside my spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's some people out there that think that's crazy. I don't care because I've been crazy. I've been in that place of crazy, amen? I've been in a padded room without any furniture, glory to God. I've been there. I've been locked up where I couldn't get out, amen? I've been to that place. I've been so sedated because of the way I was thinking. I'm not in that place anymore because God set me free, because the Word set me free. And you know something? He gave me His Holy Spirit to be on the inside of me, just as He said He would do. And that Holy Spirit guides me and teaches me all things. He leads me into the truth of God. He leads me here. He leads me there. Praise God. He led us into Mainville. Absolutely. And we gave a testimony Sunday last year. Remember the testimony Sunday? We remember when we gave that because so many, God had done so many wonderful things for so many people. You know something? Some people walk away from that stuff too. I'm going to tell you right now, you have a choice whether you're going to keep your testimony or not. You have a choice whether you're going to continue or not. Everybody has a choice. It's not because the word don't work, it's because you don't work it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You see mighty men and women of God that have been set up and then taken down by the devil because they walk away from the word. The pursuit of life keeps you bound. The word brings you freedom. I have been experiencing so much freedom lately. I can't even explain it. It's been so good. So many Christians, they don't know what God's freedom is because they don't know what His Spirit is. They don't know how to follow His Spirit. I'll just be sitting with the Lord. I'll read my Word. I open my Word. This isn't boring to me. I'll open my Word and I start reading it. I can't read. I can't just get into it. It doesn't matter where I open. I start reading. God starts speaking to me. He starts unveiling things in this to me. He starts showing me things that I've never seen before. He starts putting messages in me. And I'm like, even sometimes I'm like, Lord, you got to slow down because I don't have enough Sundays and Saturdays and Fridays to preach this stuff. I don't have enough to get it out of me, amen, and I want to. You don't understand how I go through my week. I go through every week wishing every day was Sunday. Why? Because I wake up, I get something good, and I got to preach it. I want to preach it. I'm like, oh, glory to God. Woo, glory to God. That's awesome. I want to get that out there because people need to hear that. And then I start thinking about you, and the Lord starts showing me people in my congregations like, yes, they need to hear this, and yes, they need to hear this, and if they'll just latch on to it, oh, glory to God, it'll change their lives. And then sometimes I show up to church, and they ain't there. I think, wow, the Lord's giving me all this stuff for them. And then they're sitting there praying, Lord, I need this to change. I want this to change. Where were you? You missed your mail. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. A Christian that doesn't go to church is not a good Christian. I'm just going to tell you right now. A Christian that doesn't go, I have my doubt. They can be, now listen, I was a Christian who didn't go to church for many years. And I wasn't a good Christian at all. You know, I might have been saved. I may have retained my salvation. Praise the Lord for that. But what does that mean if all hell's breaking loose in my life? You know, Paul had all hell breaking loose in his life, but he always overcame it with victory. He stood strong. I mean, most Christians, if they had to go through what some of these disciples went through, oh my God. Paul was beaten within an inch of his life. He was in prison. He was shipwrecked. He floated around in the deep for like 2 days. Just floating around because he was shipwrecked. You don't think he was wondering where his God was? He knew where his God was. He wasn't crying out to the Lord, why have you forsaken me? No, listen, we don't do things like that. We don't, but so many Christians live by that. They live by, oh God, why have you forsaken me? They haven't even given a chance to work yet. Yeah. God doesn't work overnight. You know why? Because God likes faith. And Christians don't know the first thing about faith. They don't know what faith is. The just shall live by faith. And if you say you're a faith church, a lot of churches will get mad at you for saying that. Yeah. A lot of preachers will get mad at you for saying that you're a faith church. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Well, if you ain't living by faith, you ain't just. And if you're a Christian who goes from one trial to the next and is always defeated, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. You need to get into the Word. You need to get into a Bible preaching church. Do it at all costs. I have seen people leave good Bible preaching churches because of a better job. They're fools. They're fools. We don't do anything that takes us away from the local house, the local church. Nothing. There is nothing that takes me and my family out. And it isn't because we're ministers. We are ministers in this church because we feel that way. Because we are that way. Because it didn't start when we started preaching. Praise God. I served in my local church. I gave my local church every penny that I possibly could. I gave my pastor everything I possibly could. When I'm talking about serving him and doing the things in the church that needed to be done, when pastor would present, this is what the direction the church is going in, I got on board with it and ran after it and said, pastor, what can I do to get you there to ensure that that thing happens? Hallelujah. That is you see, there's no money to a Christian that makes a difference. There's no time to a Christian that's going to keep you back. You know why my family is blessed? Because my family doesn't argue when I serve God, when I have to go 24 hours a day, or when I have to go away, when they don't see me for a couple weeks at a time. They don't give me any flack about that. They praise God for the opportunity. But there's some Christian, man, it's hard just to haul them out of bed to get them in church. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know we got visitors here today. Praise the Lord. And I need a chair to sit up here and just tell you, I'm sorry. God loves you. I love you. Praise the Lord. I do. I say it all the time, though. You can have it easy in here and hard out there, or hard in here and easy out there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's always that time when you bring somebody to church, you're like, I hope pastor preaches a real good message. It really stirs them up. And you bring people in the church, and you're like, and he's just laying it on thick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So many Christians are still bound because they don't ever really know what His will is. God's will. He gave us His Spirit to know. And it's a direction of mine. I've got to preach on this more. Not just this, but about the Holy Spirit. Because listen, if you've been sitting in this church for a year and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, something's wrong. Why? Because that's what Jesus said the power was. See, you're looking for power in your life and you're looking for it in all other places. Jesus said the power comes from speaking in tongues. Yeah. Speaking. So if you don't speak in tongues, you lost the power. You don't have the power. You have the same power that everybody else does in the world. You go with the same thing. Yeah, you can get mad about that if you don't like the whole tongues business, but Jesus talked about it. He said in the Great Commission, which we all love to quote, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? We love the Great Commission. In the end of Mark, you know what he also says? With the Great Commission, he said, and those who believe in me, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And they will speak with other tongues. Yes, the Bible says that. The first thing Jesus told his disciples to do is go wait for me because I'm coming with tongues. The Holy Spirit, what does tongues do? It speaks to God. It's a prayer language between you and God. Listen, I know, there's millions of people out there that are filled with the Spirit. So there's something going on. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if your religion, if your dead religion taught you that was evil, well, it's funny that it was. But the Bible talks a lot about it. Actually, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is talked about more than the baptism of water. And we all baptize with water, don't we? Some of us wrong, some of us right. But praise the Lord, we all do it. Yeah. Yeah. But the Bible talks more about that. Why? Because the more important things the Bible talks about more. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you, listen, I'm going to say this again. If you have been in a church for more than a year and you're not filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, something is wrong. If you don't, because you can't hear the voice of God, you won't know the direction what you need to do. You know what I do when I need direction from the Lord? I start praying in tongues. I start seeking the Lord and he speaks to me and he shows me things to come. The other night I was seeking the Lord and I said, Lord, I need to know something. I want to know what you want in this situation. So I started praying. All of a sudden, these words came out of my spirit. I knew what it was. That's as easy as it was. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to really scare you. Amen? You want me to really scare you? Yeah. Like, well, I don't. Praise the Lord. Last Friday service. Was it last Friday service? Yeah, last Friday service. I'm in the back room here. I wasn't just prettying myself up. I was sitting in my chair praying in tongues. Yeah. I'll tell you what happened. All of a sudden, the Spirit started falling on me. And I started getting pie-eyed. I'm all goofy-faced and pie-eyed back there, and I don't know how I'm going to do anything. I don't know how I was going to come out and minister. I come out barely. I look at Chris, and I didn't do it, but I see me in my spirit. I see me, like, slapping her with the Bible. Not to hurt her, but I didn't do it. No, but I just like, it's like slapping her with the word. You know what I mean? Because because Chris is such a, you know, she's such a hungry, faithful person. And so the Lord, the deep calls on the deep. The Lord, you know, that draws that spirit out. And just wanted to lay, basically what it was, lay hands on her. And probably I think we did later on anyways. But you know, see, there's a lot of churches, they don't do that stuff. They don't believe in that stuff. They put it in the back. But Jesus did it. Yeah. Jesus did it. Yeah. Jesus did it. Yeah. Jesus did it. It's weird, but Jesus did it. Listen, I don't do all the things Jesus did because I wouldn't have a church. I start spitting in your eyes, spitting in your face, hallelujah. Well, if I start cracking a whip every time somebody says something stupid? You know what I'm saying? Seriously, a lot of people come in, they couldn't handle a lot of the correction that the apostles gave and that Jesus gave. We got to get them to that place, amen? John 16:5. Praise the Lord. John 16:5. I'm talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, kind of. We're cleaning things up is what we're doing, amen? But this is what I'll say. People come against stuff we preach all the time. I have never been in churches, though, and I'm going to tell you this. Look at all the family churches. I've never been in churches where so many people are blessed, so many depressions are broken, so many marriages are restored, so many lives are set free, so many bondages fall off people. I've never seen it before. I've never seen a place so often where people are healed of things that the doctors can't cure. I've never seen so many times before where people who never could stand in front of a group of people and talk, and then all of a sudden they're preaching to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Yeah. I've never seen this before. I've never seen such change in people before. Yeah. Because the Bible is all about change. If there's not change, then they're not preaching the word. Right. John 16:5. Praise God. So you can say it does. This is like tithing. People say, well, I don't know about tithing. Well, I've been tithing for the last, what, 12 years we've been tithing for now? Is that about 10, 12? 12 and a half years. We've been tithing for 12 and a half years. I've said, I give testimony all the time. I don't do it to say, look at me. And I don't make, like, I was just sharing my testimony with someone else about the money that I gave up to come into ministry. But I've been more blessed since I've been in ministry. We don't even take the tax credit on our house that we're allowed to have. We don't do that. Because we can have it as a parsonage. We don't do that. It costs us extra money. But see, the thing is I make less money than I did 10 years ago. God blesses me more. Yeah. You see, I don't say that so people think that we're money-minded. What I'm saying is God, what I'm saying in that, what I always want to try to get out to people is that God always takes care of us because we do the word. When you do the word, he takes care of you. He comes through. And I know I have friends after friends. I know people, tons of people, the same thing. They don't lack because they give to the work of God or because they and give anyway. I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking about give themselves to it. Amen? And sometimes it takes a lot from you in the sense that it takes a lot out of you. Working in the ministry isn't always easy from that standpoint. But if you do it and your heart is for it, God will bless you for it. Praise God. 16:5. In the caption of my Bible right here, it says the work of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus himself talking. Look what he said. We're going to read through all the way through 24. Praise the Lord. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Because all they could think about is we have our pastor here. We love him because they did. They loved him. God's sending him away to go, he had to go away. This isn't the same as what's happening with us, but he had to go away because he had to die for our sins so we could be saved. And so we could do the work of the ministry. And so we could receive the Holy Spirit. But see, they couldn't see beyond that. This is the way a lot of church people are. They sit in churches and the pastor says, oh, we got another, we're going to raise money for this. And all of a sudden everybody gets mad. But look at, I'm going to tell you right now, the money still hasn't poured in for the Corey Church. Only but from a few people, and I'm believing God that they get more blessed because people can't release things for 5 minutes. They can't, well, it's more important to have this and to have that than it is to see people get saved. Well, see how much God blesses you then, because God's intent is for people. It's not for the things. He will bless you. He will give you your things. He will help you with that stuff, but it's only going to happen as you connect to his work. And yeah, it takes stepping out in faith. Listen, I know what it's like. I remember the day I had to step out in faith and believe the man that was standing in the pulpit asking for my money because we didn't have any money. And I sat there and I thought about this. But you know something? I watched him and I started looking at how he lived his life and what he was doing and what was happening in his life. And you know what I started seeing? I started seeing, wait a minute, he is a doer of the word. He was the best giver in the church. Hallelujah. He was doing things because I was one of the ones that counted the money at the time. So I got to see that. Yeah. Yeah, I got to see this man who didn't have it. He drove an old beat-up car at the time, but I've watched him progress. I watched the fruit in his life. Jesus said, you'll know him by the fruit. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where were they? Oh, the sorrow has filled their hearts. People did that when they built the Jamestown Church. We were going to build it. We had a church of 160 people we could fit in there, and it was packed out. They were running three services, packed out, right? And then all of a sudden, pastor says that the Lord put it on his heart to build a building. $3 million building. I mean, people couldn't handle that. Some people left because of it. If you had a church committee at that time, they would have voted it down. That's why we don't have church committees here. Why? Because a lot of church committees are not spiritual. They're a bunch of people that just come in the door. Hey, somebody's popular, so put him in and he'll make decisions for us. Oh, that's by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. God never worked that way. Well, you like it or not like it, go to a church that does that and not have anything. You know what I'm saying? Well, praise the Lord. But they would have voted it down. But now you see that church is the biggest of the family churches. There's almost four people. They sent three churches out from them now, started three churches, because Erie, Mayville, and Tonawanda. You know, when they raised money, when they said that they were gonna plant two churches and they wanted to raise money, you know how much money they raised to plant these two churches? $50,000. $50,000. The pastor takes up an offering for something and they raise $50,000. I took up an offering once for $3,000 and we didn't even hit it. Most of it was the money we put in. Yeah, because their hearts just aren't. I'm going to tell you something. We got to put down our flesh and start doing what the Spirit is leading us to do. If you don't believe you're in a place that is being led by the Spirit, then go somewhere else, because you're not helping anything here. If otherwise, get on board and find out what God is actually doing. If you don't trust people, then don't be where you don't trust people. If you can't trust the leadership, why the heck would you follow them? I don't get that. If I didn't trust my pastor, I certainly wouldn't listen to him. But some people are so foolish. They sit there like, well, I have better ideas than him. Pride. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Man, we're cleaning something up. Get the broom out. Hallelujah. But that church, they're not nice. Praise God. Boldness. Hallelujah. We pray for boldness, right? Boldly proclaim. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. This is after Jesus leaves. Where's the conviction in church anymore? Where's the conviction that you're not, that maybe you know something? Christians drinking alcohol, it isn't right. I'm just going to say it, it's not right. The Bible is full of how foolishness it is to do that. And so Christians are doing all the time. And they leave churches because they can't have their sippity sip anymore. Yeah. Amen? But the Bible says it's foolishness. Yeah. Causes death. Yeah. They don't want to hear it. Huh? When do we talk about sin anymore in churches? Because if you start talking about sin, people get all mad. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about the things that they're doing. I say this all the time. I'll say it again. If you're a husband and a wife and you have separate accounts, you're fools. Both of you are fools. Why? Because the Bible says you're one. If you have separate accounts, you're just leaving the door open for the devil to run all over your marriage. So don't come crying when the devil takes from you, because that's exactly what's going to happen. You know why? Because anything done in secret is not of God. God is a revealer of secrets. God doesn't do things separately. My wife and I don't have separate anything. Nothing in our life is separate. We have the same checking account, the same bank account. We have the same access to the same money. We have the same credit cards. Everything's the same. Everything. Praise the Lord. It'll help you. Glory to God. People want to have secrets. They want to have their time, husband time, the wife time. They go out, wonder why the marriage falls apart. Yeah, praise the Lord. Because how can you be separate and have separate? Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, every once in a while there's things. But everybody today, I want to go have a girl's night out. Fools. I want to go have the guy's night out. Fools. You don't think the devil is going to throw things in there to tempt you? Of course he is. Praise the Lord. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. You know why I don't sin? Or you know why I turn from sin when I do? Because the Holy Spirit on the inside of me convicts me. I can't sin. If you're a Christian who can openly sin, you better check your spiritual pulse. If you're a Christian who can sit there and look at porn, you better check your spiritual pulse. If you're a Christian and you can sit in church and hear the word and not want to do it, you better check your spiritual pulse. If you're a Christian and you can still fornicate, yeah, praise the Lord. That means unmarried sex, praise the Lord for all. If you can do that, you better check your spiritual pulse. And wonder why, see, this is the thing. These things happen. People are living these lives, and they wonder why their lives are falling apart. God cannot bless you when you openly are sinning, when you know that you're sinning, doing the things that God specifically said not to do. You can't do that. You can't do that and live and be blessed. No, praise God. Aren't you glad you're not me today? Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of this world is judged. Oh, that kind of throws in the whole pie in the face of all that. God's in complete control, doesn't it? Jesus just said the ruler of this world. What's the ruler of this world? The one who rules this world. It's in lowercase. He didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. He ain't talking about God the Father. He ain't talking about Jesus himself. He's talking about the ruler of this world. Well, praise God. That's free, no charge. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, this scripture right here I'm about to read to you, has changed my life. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. He will guide you into all truth. What do we know about guide? Well, a guide is not somebody who drags you kicking and screaming. A guide is someone that shows you the way, and you have a choice whether or not you follow. Hallelujah. And he'll guide you into truth. That means in line with the word. The word is truth. Amen? For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or show you things to come. Hallelujah. Christians should know what's coming up in their lives. You know something? The other day, we were Josh and Rachel had invited us for dinner. And we were with them, and we were, praise the Lord, we were just having dinner, and we're talking about godly things, you know, and stuff like that, and what's happening in the churches and what the Lord's doing. And you know, as we were leaving, the Spirit of the Lord came on me and was like, lay hands on them and impart to them before we leave. So it can even happen in your house. But they receive from us as pastors. Amen. They serve us as pastors. And so they receive from that anointing. Like it or not, that's the truth. And so I let go back in and lay hands on them. So we went to the living room, started praising the Lord. Right in the living room. We weren't even in church. Amen. And God led me to impart it. And then as I did that, the Lord, there's some things that started prophesying out of my spirit. I started saying, and there's things concerning the works, amen, what God's doing in our ministry. Because our ministry is not Mayville, it's not Corey, it's anything God calls us to, amen. And there was a shaking on the inside of me. There was a shaking just on the inside of me, and I just felt it. And even yesterday, like when I was driving to the church, there was a shaking on the inside of me. See, God is doing something. And when God is doing something, he'll start moving you in a direction. He'll start showing you things to come. You'll start feeling different. You'll start knowing things you didn't know before. Things will make more sense to you, and there'll be direction. See, he'll show you. The Spirit works on the inside of you, but people, they don't even know how to access that Spirit. They think it's indigestion. I'll say, they'll be sitting in church, pastor will say, give an offering, and the Spirit, they'll hear, hey, give $1,000, and they'll be like, oh, man, where's the Tums? Where are the Tums at? Because it might, yeah, I'm not saying everybody got to give, you don't you twist what I say. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you twist what I say, I'll come up there and smack you. Don't twist what I say. Yeah. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying that God will move on you. You know why? Because one time the Lord came on me. We my wife and I looked forward, praise the Lord. I'm just going to get into some stuff here if you don't mind. One time we looked forward every year because we were so poverty-minded. The only time we ever had money was at tax time because we didn't make anything. Yeah. That's the way it is with a lot of people. And so every year we look forward to that tax time because that was the only time where we had money to do something with. And for like 3 or 4 years, every year the Lord was leading me to give it away. And I'm like, why is he doing this? And I would get mad. And tax time would come, start fearing. Well, praise the Lord. I'll explain that in a minute. But the last time I remember, it was the biggest one. And he told us, in my spirit, he's like, we wanted to get a camper so we could spend with our kids, have some vacation time with our kids, right? Yeah. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to get a camper. We found this camper. And praise the Lord for it. We were like, oh, I think we can do it with the, you know, the tax return. And I was sitting in service. And pastor, all of a sudden, he started talking about, what was he raising money for? It was a special offering for something. It was something important. There's been a lot of them over the years, so I don't remember exactly which one it was for. It might have been the parking lot offering. I'm pretty sure it was. You're right. Because, you know, you got to park people too. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So all of a sudden in my spirit, the Lord said, I heard in my spirit, give that money that you're going to buy that camper with. Yeah. Well, how many of you know that's not exactly something I wanted to hear at that moment? Right. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to hear that. And I struggled with that. I struggled with it. Yeah, I struggled with it for a few days. And I got mad because, you know, the opportunity was given to me to give a bunch of money away. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, my wife and I live in such a way. The Bible says to lead by example. We live in such a way that if we have extra money, we give it to the house of God. I don't ask people to give and not put in myself. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, so to make a long story short, we ended up giving that away. We ended up getting the camper anyways, part of which was donated to us. They dropped the price so low that the donation they gave to us was enough to get the camper and to put it on the back, put a hitch on the car so we could actually pull it around, right? Amen? The donation, somebody came up to us and said, hey, this is on my heart to give you this money, you know. Praise the Lord. We had given every penny away. And you know what we ended up doing? We ended up giving the camper, most of the camper away because we didn't want any more. God led us in that same year, led us into a brand new car, our first brand new car. And we went on vacation in style, praise the Lord. Now, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like some $100,000 car. It was a nice new car. It was where we were at the time. But he led us on all these things. And why? Because we were open and willing to do what he said to do. And so what did I learn by that? I don't care what he tells me to do with my what, there's some. Yeah, the money that the car, and we slept in, you know, staying in camper is nice. Staying in a hotel is better. Just my opinion, but praise God. Free breakfast and all that stuff. Ain't got no bugs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, maybe that hotel we did. No, I'm just kidding. We picked the wrong hotel on that trip, but we still had fun anyways. But you understand what I'm saying is that God will lead you and it won't make sense. And when he leads you and it doesn't make sense, that's a perfect time to do it. Because that's what faith is. But see, if you don't hear the Spirit, you won't hear that stuff. That's why, you know what I know? I know that people aren't hearing the Spirit in this church. How do I know that? Because a lot of the things that need to be happening aren't happening. They're not being promoted. They're not being pushed out there. They're not saying, we don't have people lining up saying, hey, what do we have to do to get this done? Amen? Not, I'm saying by and large. Now, there are people. I'm not saying that everybody's bad or anything. I'm not saying anybody's bad. But there are people, by and large, that are moved on things. Praise the Lord. It stirred my soul. We had one donation that came in when we were doing that floor that almost covered the entire floor. Yeah. Praise the Lord. One donation that covered the whole entire floor. You know why? Because God was moving on somebody's heart. They followed it. Praise the Lord, and they'll be blessed for it. Yeah. Amen? And I'm not talking about people that even want to, you know, they're not saying, hey, I want to be known for this or whatever. It's about the work of the Lord. The house of the Lord will always look nice. The house of the Lord is always going to be blessed. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Yo, God's dealing with some things here today, and sometimes that happens. But this is all following the Holy Spirit. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I can come with a message in mind, but as I follow the Holy Spirit, he's going to deal with things in people. Amen? We have to be body-minded. I've been preaching that, been talking about that, but if we are so just self-minded, we are always going to think about ourselves. God takes care of us as we take care of the house of the Lord. Amen? And the things that God's doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. As we take care of God's work, as we do what Matthew 8:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. That's what the Bible says. Amen? That's what Jesus said. Everybody said Jesus said it. Jesus said. Praise the Lord. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He's going to take what is mine and declare it to you. He's going to show you. He's going to say, listen, this is mine and I'm going to declare it to you. What does it mean when he declares it to us? He tells us what's ours. He tells us what we can have. Praise God. I don't even ask God for anything for myself, very rarely anymore. Do you know that? I don't. The Lord's, there'll be times the Lord will start moving on me, like he moved on me when it was time to get a new vehicle. Praise God. Hallelujah. I put 30,000 miles on my vehicle last year. Driving mostly for the church, amen? And the Lord directed me to, it was time to get a new vehicle. And so that's what I did, amen? It's been a blessing. But see, I wasn't out seeking it. I wasn't out looking for it. I wasn't saying, hey, it's time for me to buy a new vehicle. I was quite content with the one that I had. But see, people that aren't spiritual, though, they don't think that way. They just think, oh, well, pastor got something. You see, when anybody in the church starts moving into things, you need to start paying attention. Because God will start moving on people, and he wants everybody to be blessed because he doesn't like his kids poor. He doesn't like his kids broken. He doesn't like his kids defeated. On the other hand, I am not preaching an out-of-balance prosperity message where God is just going to pour millions and millions of dollars into you. That's not just so you can sit there and be rich and be mouthy and all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. So he's going to show you what you have access to. What do you have access to as children of God? Everything the Father has. Is healing his? Yep. Is prosperity his? Yep. Is peace his? Yep. Praise God. Go right down the list. Is joy his? Yep. You don't have it? How are you connecting to the work of God? Are you willing to sacrifice anything? I want to ask you that. Are you willing to sacrifice anything for the work of God? Judge where you're at. Yeah, judge where you're at. I don't care. You could come up to me tomorrow and say, you know what? I am not called there. Well, fine. If you're not called, you're not called. Go where you're called. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be fed where you're called. So you should be fed where you're called. And your life should be progressing where you're called if you follow the calling, if you follow what you're called to do. Amen? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while, you will not see me, and again, a little while, you will see me, and because I go to the Father, therefore, what is this he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. They don't understand it, right? Now, Jesus knew what they desired to ask him and said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament But the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that the human being has been born into the world. Therefore you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will be able to take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amen? God's trying to teach us something. He's trying to take us somewhere. I'm not getting through this message today. Let's see where I want to go just to finish. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I can get through it. I can get through it. Galatians 5:24. Quickly go there. Whoops. I went past there. Galatians 5:24-25. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There it is. Those who are Christ have crucified their flesh. What does that mean? This is taking up your cross. It means when your flesh wants you to do something you know ain't right, you crucify it, you kill it, you say you ain't doing it, you ain't having it. If you are Christ, this is what you do. If you don't do this, you aren't Christ. The Bible says, it's very clear. If those who are Christ crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, if you struggle with something, I'm not talking about people who struggle with something. You can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I struggle with this. But you got to get it right. You got to work at getting it right. You can't say, I struggle with this, keep doing it, and then just expect God to forgive you for it. Because that's not the way that it works. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Bible tells us to live and walk in the Spirit. To live and walk in the Spirit. Live and walk in the Spirit. So why are we living and walking in the flesh? Your flesh is also your mind. You understand that. Your natural thoughts, what you're thinking, like, oh, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. This is, you know something? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to be in church all weekend necessarily all the time. Sometimes I don't want to do that. Sometimes I don't want to be busy all week. Sometimes I don't want to deal with other people's problems. Sometimes I don't want to deal with people that don't listen to me and then come to me for help and still won't listen to me. Sometimes I don't want to do that. I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes I get mad when I have to sit and listen to somebody over and over again who doesn't want to do the work of the Lord, who doesn't want the word, and just because they won't do the word, trouble comes and they come to me to bail them out. They want me to pray it out of them. Sometimes I don't want to do that. But I do because I love people. I do because I want to see people help. You know why else I do? Because somebody did that with me. Somebody put up with my offense. Somebody put up with me coming to them every other day saying, you know, every 3 months my pastor said you could measure, you could set a clock by it. Every 3 months I was so offended at him, ready to leave the church. Yeah. I don't get that way anymore, by the way. But every 3 months I was ready to leave the church. I knew that we were supposed to be there, but I didn't always like what was being said to me. I didn't always like what was, but I knew it was the word. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, God is good. Amen. My pages are flipping while I'm talking. I want to read this in the Amplified, verse 25 in the Amplified. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit, look at this. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit. Listen. This is where, and we're not teaching on tongues today and being filled with the Spirit. But if you want to walk in victory, you cannot do it without being filled. You can't do it because you need that refreshing. And we're going to teach about this soon. But the things that come from the, and there's a lot to it. You can't do it without it. So if you reject it, you are also rejecting God's help. I'm just telling you. Amen? If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, amen? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and turn. I'm really about to close here. I want to share just a few more real quick scriptures for you, with you. 1 John 2:20. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies Jesus Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son, what they do, who they are. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. If what you're being taught out of the Word, the things that they taught, the things they taught us, that's what we teach in this church. All this stuff, if it abides in us, then we abide in the Father. And then we have the answer. And this promise that he has promised us eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You have to abide according to the Word. Amen? You have to abide according to the Spirit. You have to understand that there is a work of the Holy Spirit and allow that to work in you. Otherwise, you will not have the things that God has intended for you. And I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'm going to give you two quick scriptures to close on. Amen? 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Amen? Or toward God. If our heart does not condemn us. If our heart condemns us on something, that means something's wrong. What does that mean? I don't like that. Something's off in this. Amen? Praise the Lord. In Romans 14:23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. If you can't do it in faith, you're doing it in sin. The work of the Holy Spirit is to guide us, to direct us, to show us things to come. He's going to show us what we need to be doing. He's going to be showing us how we're able. You know, sometimes, I'm going to tell you this, sometimes you're not able. Sometimes the Lord will put something in your heart that you're not able to do. And so you put it before him, Lord, show me how to get it there. But most people won't even ask him. They'll just say, I can't do that. So they don't. And then something goes without. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. He wants us to know. He wants us to teach. He wants to teach us. But he can't teach us if we won't listen. Yeah. And if we're not listening to his Spirit, we can't listen to his Word. The difference between people, if you get people who are just super religious, they're always talking about, oh, just God's just going to send everybody to hell. Praise the Lord. There are people that talk about stuff like that. It's because they don't have the Spirit. Yeah. Amen? Churches without the Spirit get religious, and churches without the Word get goofy. We have to have a balance between the two. And so that's why we're a church that teaches both. Amen?